Hafide, welcome to another episode of Hearthstone Deck Techs. I am your host, Ken Sanity. Today we are going to be talking about a wild deck, in the wild format, and it is Togwoggle Druid. Now, Togwoggle Druid has been around for a little bit, a relatively new archetype, but in the past 2 months, it's really seen a change in how the deck is developed. So today, we're going to talk about two variations of the build, which have two distinctly different types of matchups. So this is going to be a very in-depth guide, and there we will be talking about a lot of cards and two deck lists. So we're going to call one deck list like an anti-aggro deck list. You'll see that deck in the code in the description. And we'll call another one combo or a control-oriented deck list. So in a meta that is littered with Even Shaman and Odd Paladin, if you're queuing up into those matchups a lot, you're going to want to play one deck. And if you're queuing up into more Barnes Priest or like Reno Lock or Control Shaman or the Mirror, you're going to want to play the other. Or like if you're entering into a tournament, some predetermined tournament when you bring a set group of decks, you're going to want to play the other deck, okay? Because some of the matchups are distinctly different. So let's get straight into it. Let's talk about the archetype in general, and we'll just look at a general list, and we can go from there, okay? Actually, let's look at the more complex. We'll look at the more control-oriented. Let's look at the general list, since it's probably the simplest one to kind of understand, okay? So I'm going to just read off a bunch of cards. We got one Innervate, 2 Lesser Jasper Spellstone, 2 Wild Growth, 2 Wrath, 2 Ferocious Howl, 1 Branching Paths, 1 Fandral Staghelm, 2 Ironwood Golems, 2 Oaken Summons, 2 Poison Seeds, 2 Swipes, 2 Nourishes, 2 Spreading Plagues, an Azalina Soul Thief, a Malfurion the Pestilent, King Togwoggle, Aviana, Kun the Forgotten King, and 2 Ultimate Infestations, okay? So this is how the deck wins, okay? It wants to ramp up a lot. It wants to draw a lot. And once it gets Azalina, King Togwoggle, Aviana, and Kun the Forgotten King, it wants to go off. And it goes off by this play. With 10 mana, you play Aviana, then you play Kun, then you play King Togwoggle, and before your turn ends, you play Azalina Soul Thief. And maybe if you play Azalina Soul Thief, you steal your opponent's hand and you play whatever card's there. Now, the way this works is basically King Togwoggle, when you play him, he's 8 mana for 5/5 battle cry, swap decks with your opponent, right? So you are going to basically change decks, but your opponent gets a card called a Ransom card, which is a 5 mana spell, which swaps decks again. Now, in a vacuum, this is not that strong because on the next turn, they can just play the 5 mana Ransom, get their deck back. But because you're playing Azalina the Soul Thief, which is the 7/4 3/3 battle cry, replace your hand with a copy of your opponent's, you will also copy the Ransom. So when you copy the Ransom, if your opponent uses the Ransom to swap decks, you can use the Ransom again to swap back, and then he'll never get his deck, okay? So this is good because your deck is all removal, all armor, and then the combo. So pretty much, if you swap decks, you leave your opponent with no gas, and you are sitting on a huge board. You got a Togwoggle, you got an Aviana, you got a Kun, you got an Azalina, and you could have more. Right. So this is a very powerful combo. It's game-ending in the sense that unless your opponent has some serious cards in his hand already, which you will also have, it's going to be difficult for him to find a win. Or unless he can push lethal the next turn, regardless of your board state, right? Now, the interesting part about this is that Druid has so many ways to kind of just stall the game. Ferocious Howl, Ironwood Golem, Oaken Summons, just all these ways to just get armor, just ways to stay alive, to mitigate damage, to get to this point where they've hopefully drawn the win condition. Now, these games are long and drawn out, okay, because there's nothing in here is winning you the game on the spot, okay? typically. There's nothing in the deck that's winning you in the game on the spot. You are heavily reliant on the combo, but because you have so many defensive tools, the odd paladins and odd rogues and even shaman, you can kind of outlast them. Now, they aren't the best matchups, but this deck build at least is catered best to it. So let's talk a little bit about the cards, why they're important. Obviously, like Aviana into Kun, that's a big part of the combo because you need Kun to refresh your mana so you can play King Togwoggle and Azalina. Now, there is an Innervate in the deck. There's one Innervate, and the Innervate is so you can go Aviana, King Togwoggle, Innervate, and Azalina, just in case you don't draw Kun the Forgotten King. Okay? Now, let's say you're missing King Togwoggle or Azalina, but you already have Aviana and Kun, and you're down to like four or five cards left in the deck. If you need to, in a pinch, you can play Aviana, Kun, and the Nourish, or Ferocious Howl, or whatever kind of draw, to find King Togwoggle or Azalina, or whatever the missing combo pieces are. Because remember, at that point, all creatures cost one. Right? So those are typical, there are typical tricky ways to kind of get around things and maybe do that kind of mechanic. And it's certainly interesting. But like I said, this particular build is more defensive. There's an Innervate. The lesser Jasper Spellstones are good removal, especially since you can buff them quickly with Ferocious Howl and Oaken Summons. Obviously, two Wild Growths. The Wraths are there to draw and maybe even get rid of something really pesky, like a Mana Worm. Ferocious Howl, just more draw, more armor. Branching Paths, which is a versatile card. You can draw when you need it, or maybe you need a pinch of armor. You can put up the pinch, or maybe you've gotten post-combo and you have a huge board and you just want to end the game. Give your minions plus two attack. Fandral, which is great. Like, you know, if you play turn four Oaken Summons and you get a Fandral and they can't deal with it, then that's crazy because the next turn you can play a Nourish and get huge value. Ironwood Golem, which is like just a great thing to pull with the Oaken Summons as well. Oaken Summons itself. Poison Seeds, which is kind of good against, you know, decks that want to do crazy board buffs. Like even Shaman, you can kind of just change these all into two twos, even though I really think the aggro decks in the wild format are really difficult to deal with for this archetype in general. Swipe, which is there for Odd Paladin, obviously, and other aggressive wide board states. Paladin, Druid doesn't have really good ways of dealing with the wide board states outside of Swipe and Spreading Plague. So, you know, this is why this build in particular is better against those wide boards. Nourish, which is like one of the strongest cards Druid has, you know, often you're going to be using it to gain two mana and not draw three cards, but there are situations obviously where you're going to draw three. Spreading Plague, which is like pretty much the best anti-aggro card. If you have it in your hand, you should be mana ramping hard for this against aggro. Azalina Soul Thief, you know, part of the combo. Malfurion, which is just a good defensive Death Knight, versatile Death Knight. King Togwoggle, part of the combo. Aviana, part of the combo. Kun, part of the combo. And the Ultimate Infestations, which are just, you know, one of the best Druid cards. You know, so, and this is a deck that wants to draw out the deck. So obviously playing a card that draws you five cards can be pretty nice if you are playing around mill, you know what I mean? Or in a situation where you get naturalized and lose it. In terms of matchups versus other Druids, think this deck doesn't. I think it struggles a little bit because it's just slow. Okay, it's really slow, and I think Big Druid or even the other version of this deck that we're also going to talk about, they just outpace this deck. Maligos Druid outpaces this deck. Well, Maligos Druid might be okay because of the armor, but in general, I think you struggle against Druid. You do very well against Hunter because Hunter's just got a very aggressive style and they need to get through taunts, so they waste a lot of their reach on the taunts, and you have so much armor. Mage, to me, is one of the toughest matchups just because Secret Mage can really keep you off your game plan, but luckily you have huge board kind of cards like Ironwood Golem, Oaken Summons to deal with that stuff, and then, you know, you have Poison Seeds. But Aluneth, the weapon, can be very difficult, so You can struggle in this matchup. The tempo of Secret Mage is very good. Paladin, even though you have Swipe and Spreading Plague, is still very difficult because, geez, man, they played a 3-3 guy that buffs, that puts Divine Shields on 1-1s, whatever. Like, some of these things are just incredibly difficult to play around. So I would say this is a negative matchup for the deck. Priest, Barnes Priest, or any other version of Priest is a easy game. Priest is just too slow. The Inner Fighter, Divine Priest might have some kind of thing going for it, but you have enough taunts and defensive cards to stall versus them, and your game plan is just better. So it's a huge matchup in your favor. Rogue is difficult. This deck does have some defensive tools, but it's still a tough matchup. Odd Rogue and just like tempo rogues in general are going to be difficult for you to deal with. Shaman is good. Even Shaman is a strong deck, it relies a lot on trying to get value out of its, you know, one mana totems, or, you know, combining that, using like kind of like Zoo, right? Playing like Zoo. And taunts are a big deal for that. So you have taunts and a bunch of removal, and you have Spreading Plague to go wide on the board, which I think your opponent's going to struggle to deal with. So Shaman is a good matchup in your favor. I think versions of Shudderwalk are still slightly in your favor, although our deck may be a little too slow to deal with Shudderwalk. I think Warlock is difficult for this deck. Reno Lock or Cube Lock or whatever, those decks are difficult for this particular build because our build is just too slow. Okay, it's too defensive. And the Warlock doesn't really care about the armor. He's just going to go over the top. I find it challenging. And Warrior is really in our favor because although Pirate Warrior is strong, it suffers the same kind of difficulties that Hunter suffers. Like, it's using physical damage to get through. And you have taunts and removal and Spreading Plague to deal with that. So while Paladin and Rogue are challenging for this particular list, Hunter and Warrior are in our favor, okay? Just because of the nature of how they do their damage, like, you know, what they're buffing or whatnot. So keep that in mind. Now, that is a very typical build, but I personally prefer a much more greedy build, and that's what we're going to talk about now. And I'm going to go through this deck list. Like, remember, you can find both deck lists in the descriptions, and if you have any questions, you can let me know. Like, this deck, though, is way more tuned for a particular meta. Like, you want to beat all the other druids. You want to beat Big Priest for sure, and you want to beat Reno Lock. So this is a control. In my opinion, this is what I would consider a deck that you would bring as part of a control package in a tournament, like a Conquest format tournament, where you expect, you know, people to play a lot of control. You want to bring this deck to counter all of those control decks. And then, you know, you bring two other maybe mid-range or aggressive decks for the other decks that they may bring. Okay, this deck is strong, very strong against control, very weak against aggro, extremely weak. So if you're on the ladder and you're only seeing even Shaman and odd Paladin, do not bring this deck, okay? Bring the other deck. And even then, like I said, the one of the bigger weaknesses of the deck is aggro. Regardless of the deck, the archetype's weakness is those aggressive boards that go wide, right? So Paladin is a struggle. Anyway, here's the deck list. This is also in the code on the left. So we have two Innervates, two Lesser Jasper Spellstones, two Doomsayers, two Wild Growths, two Wraths, two Ferocious Howls, two Jade Blossoms, one Mulch, two Branching Paths, a Twig of the World Tree, a Blingtron, two Nourish, one Hemet Jungle Hunter, one Reno Jackson, one Azalina Soul Thief, one Medivh, one King Togwoggle, one Aviana, one Kun, and two Ultimate Infestations. Now, you see this deck and you see a bunch of cards that really don't see a lot of play often, and this is looking very, very unique, right? but this is a good deck, and it's very fast. So obviously the game plan is same here. You want to use the Aviana Kun, King Tagawago, Azalina combo, but you also get access to a bunch of other things that are crazy. So the first thing to talk about is Hemet, okay? You'll notice that we're not running Oaken Summons, we're not running Ironwood Golem, we're not running Fandral, we're not running any of that mid-range packet, or the 4 to 6 man, like Spreading Plague, Swipe. We don't have any of those. Those are extremely good anti-aggro tools that we lose. And that is why this deck suffers way more versus Odd Paladin and even Shaman than the other deck, because it doesn't have those tools. And what it's replaced them with are cards like Twig of the World Tree, Blinktron, Medivh, Reno Jackson, and Hemet. Okay, so we've taken that anti-aggro package and we've gone way greedier and well, not greedier, but we sped the deck up in hopes that we don't get into those matchups. You can still beat those decks. It is just extremely, extremely difficult. But like I said, in general, the archetype struggles with those types of decks. Okay, so let's talk about Hemet first. So what Hemet will do is Hemet is a 6-mana, 6/6 creature. Battlecry, destroy all cards in your deck that cost 3 or less. There are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 cards in the deck that cost 3 or less. If you have not played any of them, you will lose all of that, so you lose half of your deck. So, with combo, well, with this deck in general, with the archetype in general, the less cards you have in the deck when you swap, the better. Because you don't want to give your opponent anything. Like, that would be ideal. You want him to start falling into fatigue. And this is where Hemet comes into play. Because Hemet gets rid of all that early game armor and removal and stuff like that. And just leaves you with combo pieces or things that facilitate the combo quicker. Like Nourish, like so you can, you know, ramp up faster or, you know, draw a couple of cards if you need to at the end of the game. Branching Paths for armor. So by playing Hemet way late, or Hemet, that you can ensure that from the point after you play Hemet, you're only drawing stuff you need, or stuff that will get you the things that you need. Okay, and that's really strong because it makes your combo turn a lot stronger. Another card you see in here is Reno Jackson, and Reno Jackson is in here because of Hemet. Because once you've played Hemet, the only doubles you have left in your deck are Branching Paths, Nourish, and UIs. Okay, that's all you have left. That's all the doubles. And chances are you're going to have drawn a Branching Path. You're going to have drawn or played a Nourish. And eventually you will get to that UI. And the good thing about it is even if you don't, your combo turn, as long as you're able to combo, you're going to be able to still maybe draw into all these things. So let's say you have Reno in your hand. Let's say you have the combo. Let's say you have Reno, Azalina, King Tagawago, Aviana, and Kun, and a Nourish. But you don't have a copy of Ultimate Infestation, okay? So assuming, you know, you haven't, like, let's assume in your deck you still got Blinktron, Twig, double UI or something, right? You're going to have a very limited amount of the deck left because of Hemet, but let's assume that you still haven't drawn one of the UIs, so you haven't activated Reno yet. It doesn't matter because you can go Aviana Kun, Aviana Kun, Nourish, draw a bunch of cards. You're going to draw one of the UIs. Then you play Reno, then you play King Tagawago, then you do whatever, then you play Azalina, and then you win the game, okay? Because not only, because once you hit that point, you've drawn more cards in your opponent's deck, your deck has been whittled down to nothing, you've healed to 30, you've healed to full life, and you have a huge board. The tempo of these turns are incredible. And it's not just that, it's just, even if the tempo is manageable by your opponent, he no longer has a deck. You know what I mean? Like, there is nothing more for him to do. He must answer that board state immediately. So, I gotta say, this deck is extremely powerful. And it's just a great deck to play. I've also uploaded a short, like 1 minute clip of a game I've played with that deck just the other day. That was that, you know, this is the end of the season. We haven't really been playing much, but yeah, you can definitely see how powerful the end game turns can be with this deck. Let's just talk a little bit about cards that are different in this particular list than the first list I talked about, so you can get an understanding of what they're used for. Doomsayer, this is obviously a keep against anything that you think is aggressive. If you think it's a zoo, you keep it. If it's even shaman, you keep it. If it's paladin, you keep it. If it's hunter, you keep it. Doomsayer is usually the premier turn two play, unless you have ramp, in which case you play wild growth. And in some cases, you don't even play the wild growth. You play the Doomsayer instead. Do not be too greedy. Wild is such a versatile format that you need to get tempo ASAP, okay? Turn two, play the Doomsayer versus even shaman, okay? If the even shaman has dropped the two drop, it's time to play Doomsayer, okay? Because, you know, Devolve is a card, Earthshock is a card. Like, you don't want to get greedy, let him play another creature, then play Doomsayer, and then he deals with the Doomsayer easily, and you've lost more tempo, okay? Don't fall into that trap. Wild Growth, like, what else don't we have in the other deck? Jade Blossom, this is just like Wild Growth at three, and it also adds a body. You know, you play this. This is a mulligan. It's a must keep. Mulch, which is not in the other deck. Mulch is just your hard removal. If there's something big that you got to get rid of, like a Hinge Clan Thug is getting out of line, you got to get rid of that. Something that can break your combo, like Fel Reaver, you got to get rid of that. Twig of the World Tree and Blinktron Emedivh. So here's another part. Twig of the World Tree is a 4-mana weapon with a 1 attack and 5 armor. Okay, when it is destroyed, you gain 10 mana crystals. So typically, what Twig allows your deck to be a little more versatile and resilient to removal. Like if people Dirty Rat your Aviana or Dirty Rat your Kun, then you're going to need the Twig to do more combos. Because if you break the Twig, you can do something like King Togwoggle, break Twig, Azalina. Okay, so you don't even need Aviana Kun at that point. Or, you know, maybe you do have Aviana. You can play Aviana. Then you can play Blinktron, which will break the Twig. Then you get 10 more mana. And then you can play King Togwoggle, Azalina. Or, you know, you have Innervate. You have multiple ways in the deck to reach the combo, okay? It's just you got to think about it, okay? So that's why the Twig is there, and that's why the Blinktron and Medivh are there, because Blinktron and Medivh give you two ways to break the Twig. Blinktron is kind of an RNG festa, right? But typically, if you're breaking Twig, you're going to win, right? And the good thing about Blinktron, too, is it's versatile enough to use against Secret Mage to break Alaneth, okay? So Blinktron is a good, flexible card in the way that, you know, it counters opponents' powerful weapons, you know, with a little bit of RNG, obviously. It puts a body on the board, and it gives you a weapon so that you can deal with things on the board, and it also activates your combo with Twig, right? So it's a good card, perfect card for this type of deck. Hemet, we talked about. Reno is obvious. And Medivh. So, you know, Medivh gives you a weapon. It gives you a 7-7 body and a weapon. And this is just more value. You can use it after a Twig. You know, that's primarily what it's used for. But it also gives you a late game play that you can use to combo your cheaper draw spells, right? You play this, then you play Branching Paths, or you play a Nourish with it. And it's a good way to get extra value. Or maybe you play an Ultimate Infestation. Like, maybe you play Medivh, and then you break the tree. Or, you know, you use Aviana, a bunch of cards to break the tree. Twig of the World Tree. And then you play a UI, and then then you're doing crazy stuff, man. Yeah, and those are the different cards in this deck. In terms of mulligan, like I said, you in both decks, you always want a mulligan for mana ramp, so you always want Wild Growth, Jade Blossom, if you're playing the list with Jade Blossom. Doomsayer versus aggressive decks. If you're playing the other list, you always want Oaken Summons as well. Yeah, those are the important parts of mulligan. If you're playing the more control-based list versus the matchups that you no. Like, if you're challenging an opponent that is also playing combo Druid or Barnes, then you want to keep Hemet. Hemet is the best draw card you have in a deck, okay? Because this deck is all about thinning the chaff, okay? Once you've hit 6 mana, you know, all you want to do is get to 10, okay? And draw combo pieces. So playing Hemet as early as possible is the best way to be quick with the deck, okay? Like, that's just the reality. Is that the less cards you have in the deck, the faster it is for you to draw the combo. And the faster you combo, the better you are at not dying to your opponent comboing out. Okay, so keep that in mind. That's how this second deck works, and I like it. I'm gonna be honest, I like the second deck way more than I like the first deck, even though the first deck is much more consistent on ladder. The second deck plays way more like fun, intuitive, and just interesting cards. And the first deck is just a little more well built, like a little more defensive, right? So you pick your poison, right? There's two lists in the description. Next week, guys, we are going to throw out some new decks. The Boomsday expansion is almost among us, so I am ready to try out a bunch of different things. Egg Priest, you know, I don't know, some kind of crazy rogue spell deck. I don't know, like a mill deck or some kind of deck that takes advantage of drawing a bunch of cards. I don't know. You know, maybe we mess with Mechathune. You know, obviously we're going to rebuild this Togwoggle deck or some more Druid combo decks in both Wild and Standard with the crazy amount of strong Druid cards that are in the game. There's going to be a wealth of things to talk about next week. So please leave a comment or follow me on Twitter. My Twitter is twitter.com/KenSanityHS. So we can talk about these new archetypes, you know, or what do you want to see? What do you want me to build? Because next week's podcast, we're going to just be talking about these new decks and a card breakdown. Like, we won't go through every card, but I mean, we'll probably go through the legendaries and choice other cards that I think are good. And we'll see how those cards turn out. But this set is definitely something to look forward to. It's going to be good. Guys, happy playing. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I'm glad that there are people out there who wanted to listen to it. So, you know, thank you, and I will catch you next time.